Okay, welcome back. Obviously the biggest, most heart-wrenching story since 9/11 that has happened in this country is, without really much debate, Sandy Hook, the Newtown tragedy. What really happened there? I don't know. All I do know is that I want to know the truth. I do know that questions need to be asked, but more than that, questions must be answered. And the good questions that are being asked are being dodged, ignored, outright rejected with insults and threats. Now, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's something wrong, really wrong, with Sandy Hook. Now, we were all kind of chipping away at this monolith of denial and lies and strangeness. The school, as you know, is gone, literally, physically gone. And then along came an American, a real patriot, someone who is more brave than any 100 people probably that I've had the pleasure of speaking to, maybe 1,000. Wolfgang Halbig is on a mission for you, for me, for our children, and for whatever happened at Sandy Hook. He wants the answers we want. And most of you know by now, I think, a little bit about Wolfgang. He's been in the news, just an extraordinary man with an extraordinary background. Former Florida state trooper, 36 years as a school administrator, including being an assistant principal and a principal. He's a nationally recognized and respected authority on school safety. He also served as an expert witness in the Columbine shooting case. There's much more to Wolfgang Halbig than that, but let me just bring him on, and we're going to start. We're going to spend this hour and get as much as we can on the table for you. Now, again, I want to repeat, I have no knowledge, direct knowledge, of what really happened there. I have a wheelbarrow full of questions. And let's get right to it now. Wolfgang, thank you very much for being here tonight, and I really enjoyed our conversation on the phone. My hat's off to you, my friend, permanently. This is a great thing you're doing for all of us.
Well, Jeff, thanks for inviting me to your program and to y'all, your great audience. You know, I don't think you and I would ever be talking tonight had two Lake County Sheriff's homicide detectives not come to my front door about a week before Christmas and threaten me. I mean, I'm a former law enforcement officer. Mm-hmm. That is the last thing I expected, to have two homicide investigators come to my house and tell me that if I don't stop asking questions about Sandy Hook, that the Connecticut State Police were going to file charges for felony harassment. And I looked at him, Jeff, and I said, you got to be kidding me, guys. I'm one of you. Well, since when have you become the messenger? And we've had a long dialogue. I mean, I want you to know something, Jeff. They knew everything about Wolfgang Halbig. They know where I went to high school, where I played college football out in Abilene, Texas. I mean, they knew my military service, my state trooper days, my customs, my education, where I got my master's. They knew, I mean, they did their homework. Now, where did they get that from? And then to tell me that I cannot ask questions. I'm a naturalized U.S. citizen. I came to this country at age 12. I couldn't speak a word of English. But I tell you what, the day I raised my right hand in a federal court, and I remember that federal judge says, congratulations, you are now a United States citizen. My God, I got goosebumps. My, what? That is the greatest day in your life.
Yeah.
And now to be told you can't ask questions in the greatest country? I taught American history. I taught American government. I mean, think about a naturalized citizen going into public schools and teaching history and government. I mean, look at the nexus there. And I taught kids, never be afraid to ask questions. And look where I'm at today. They leave my house telling me I need to hire an attorney. That's not the America that I know, Jeff.
These weren't Americans. They're not working for America. They're not working for our Constitution. They're working for thugs, criminals, liars, and people at the very top who are involved in whatever happened at Sandy Hook. I can't even imagine what they must have felt when you confronted them and looked them right in the eye. Unless they were inhuman, they had to feel something at some level. Maybe they felt that they know in their hearts that they have sold out. They're whores. They have been told to do something which they know is wrong, and they did it. This is the part that bothers me. Americans turning on Americans, Wolf, this has to stop. Americans just have to say no. No more. It's got to end. We've got to stop representing the evil that's running this country.
Yeah, but you know, law enforcement, I mean, I was so proud to be a state trooper. And when you work for federal and federal law enforcement,
yeah.
Jeff, you raise your right hand, you take an oath, you know, to defend this country against, you know, domestic and foreign enemies. You swear to serve and protect, you know, all of us. And these guys come to my, they should know better. They know me. I'm pretty good. I'm established in the community. I ran for county commissioner.
Your local public servants coming to your door and threatening
you. And they know me.
Yeah.
And they come into my house. I mean, it upset my wife. I mean, she is livid, you know.
Yeah.
And she's worried about her safety having these police officers come to my house. What's next, you know?
Well, let's think about it positively. Let's get into this situation. What happened at Sandy Hook? What didn't happen? First of all, do we know for sure very much about what actually did happen there? Let's take it with what we do know.
Well, you know, what we do know is that on December 14th, 2012, the national news media reported that there were shots fired at Sandy Hook Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure hearts must have stopped on that day for every parent. I mean, across this country, everybody was pinned to the television. I was in shock.
Yeah.
And what do we hear? We hear someone entered the school, and by the time the midday gets along, we've got 20 children shot and killed, six school staff member, and then we learned that the person, the suspect, shoots and kills himself. Now, that's the story.
That's the
and
story.
I've never, Jeff, seen the national news media, CNN, ABC, you name it, come out with so much misinformation all at one time. And the question we need to ask ourselves, your audience need to ask, who gave him that information? An anonymous source. Well, who is that anonymous source? Every major television news channel, they never quoted anybody. They kept saying over and over, an anonymous source. Well, who gave him the script?
Yeah, exactly. Well, this was planned just like 9/11. They had the hijackers' names within minutes. They had it all. It was all there, tied up nice and neat with a bow on it, done, until people began asking questions like you. Okay, the questions that you have asked, the most important questions that we are going to demand be answered in this country, or we don't have a country anymore. Let's just go through the questions.
And this one is for every one of your listeners, and I hope there's a lot of law enforcement officers out there and paramedics and EMTs listening tonight. Please hold me accountable. This is not about Wolfgang Halbig or what I think. It's about what the facts are of the case that they refuse to respond to. The first question, and this is common sense, I want to know who directed the New Haven FBI offices to classify the Sandy Hook investigative report. This is never, ever heard of. Columbine, Paducah, Virginia Tech, Jonesboro, Chardon. Nobody's ever classified a school shooting by the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who directed them to do that?
Mm-hmm.
It's never heard of. And my message to your listeners tonight would be, pick up the phone tomorrow, call your congressman and call your United States senator and demand to get a copy of the FBI investigative report that's been classified and ask why it's classified. Because the Connecticut State Police report, Jeff, there's nothing in there from the FBI. The report that is handed to you and me is only from the Connecticut State Police, and that is one-sided, and there's a lot of facts missing.
On what grounds was the FBI report classified? Did they cite any code or anything that they used as a cover for that? National
no, they
security?
Didn't.
What? It's not national security.
Well, for me, as a national school safety expert, I have to verify my information. It can't be, me just throwing things out there. I actually called the New Haven FBI offices. Mm-hmm. I identified myself, gave them my name, and I said, look, I'm doing research. I want to know how I can get a copy of the FBI investigative report, on Sandy Hook. Because, I'm sure you send that report to President Obama and Eric Holder, the Attorney General, and, former Director Robert Mueller. I'm sure they had it in 72 hours. The lady talked to me and she said, Mr. Halbig, no disrespect, you're never going to see it in your lifetime. And I said, what has to be classified? Tell me one thing that has to be classified. And I went over, just the six basic elements of what happened. Yeah. She says, well, it's classified and you won't see it. And I said, Columbine is not classified. I said, I went to your website in Washington, D.C., FBI. I'm reading the FBI report. I see the autopsy report. I see photos. I see videos. Everything about Columbine is open to the public. Sandy Hook, classified. Why is that a secret? What are we hiding today? They won't respond, Jeff.
She wouldn't say anything. Yeah, I'm not surprised. It has gotten to be that bad in this country. When they classify something, they're hiding something. And in this case, they're hiding lots of somethings. I, again, don't know what they are, but we're damn going to find out.
We are.
Go ahead, Wolf, please.
And here's the thing. Every one of your listeners, please, you have to pretend that your child, whether you're a parent, grandparent, guardian, pretend that you have a child at Sandy Hook on December 14th, 2012. All of a sudden, you hear the news that shots are fired in that school. You're rushing there because guess what? You want to save your child. You get there, and all of a sudden, the news comes out. Yeah, children have been shot. They've been seriously injured. Many are clinging to life. And then you find out that the incident commander who's in charge of the event never request the trauma helicopters to come to Sandy Hook Elementary School.
It's impossible.
To provide the fastest and quickest medical care for your children and teachers. And why would you not order that? We need to know, and we need to find that out.
It's just astonishing in and of itself right then and there. It's the first thing you do. Those helicopters should have been en route instantly. There was a helicopter there, was there not?
Oh, you know what? They had, six news helicopters. They had Connecticut Trooper 1, the State Trooper helicopter all over the school. You've got all these helicopters, but the one that they don't have is the trauma helicopter. And here we go again. Wolfgang even called the director of the LifeStar helicopter out of Hartford, Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
I asked the question, why in the world would you people not respond to Sandy Hook? I know you heard it on your radio transmission. She said, absolutely, Mr. Halbig. We heard it. We were just as surprised as you are. We couldn't believe we weren't requested. Now, think about that one.
Wow.
I verify. I don't just assume. You can't ever assume with this.
No.
You're dealing with children's and teachers' lives.
I can't even imagine being a parent or rushing to that school. I would be beyond panicked.
Absolutely.
Beyond. I'd leap over an automobile, whatever I had to do to get to that school to find out where my child or children are.
But look what you just said, Jeff. Now, there's a guy they catch in the woods. I forgot the guy's name. I think it's Manifredonia or something like that.
Now, he's
supposed to be a parent. He's wearing combat fatigues. He's supposed to come to the school, build gingerbread houses that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells the police he heard shots in the school, so he ran away. Now, what father in their right mind would run away knowing that their child's inside the school?
Never happened.
Doesn't happen. Look what you just said. You knocked the door down.
Absolutely. And we've seen pictures of those two men running away from the school. Now, at least one of them is purportedly a parent. Okay.
Right.
Lie number one of hundreds. All right. There's a big problem. All right. Let's go ahead.
Next one, this is unbelievable. This is unheard of, especially if you remember Columbine. Columbine is when the SWAT teams and paramedics didn't go into school. They stayed away for long periods of time, but that was a hostage situation. law enforcement actually told this country, we made a mistake, we should have gone in right at the front. And that's what they call active shooter drill now.
Yeah.
Law enforcement, when they respond, they go in there quickly, they neutralize the threat, meaning they got to kill the suspect if need be. And then, when the area is safe, you allow all the medical, paramedics, EMTs in there
instantly
to treat the injured or those
instantly
clinging to life. Jeff, yeah, they didn't let the paramedics and the EMTs inside the school that morning.
Okay, now I know this. I want you to repeat that. I want all of you to listen real carefully, please. This is extremely important. They did
think
not,
about this.
The officials didn't let the paramedics and EMTs into that school to take care of those wounded and suffering children.
You're the parent. You arrive there. You're the grandparent. You're watching this unfold. And what do you see? The incident commander does not allow the paramedics and EMTs inside the school to treat those seriously injured or wounded. And the school was deemed safe, Jeff, within 11 minutes. There was no reason. And guess what? They never got to go inside during the entire day. They were told to go outside and set up the triage area. So when you look at the videos, you have two separate triage areas.
Yeah.
Nobody ever was brought out.
No, not one.
Not
I've
one.
Seen the pictures. So all the EMTs and paramedics outside, never allowed in, never got in to see the kids. Apparently, the authorities were perfectly happy to let any wounded children just die on the floor, correct?
Obviously, they must have, because, remember, two children were transported. That's what people tend to forget.
Mm-hmm.
They all think everybody died at the school. Two of the children were actually transported to Danbury Hospital, but they didn't leave the school for over an hour to be transported. So who provided the medical care for them?
During that
they
hour.
They didn't let the paramedics in.
What, come on now, what are they doing for an hour when they can run them out of there in seconds?
Every one of the questions that we're talking about tonight, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking under the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act, those simple questions. And for over 10 months, they have refused to answer my questions. But guess what? They sent police to my house to tell me to quit asking those questions. You know why? As you said, I don't think they can answer them.
They can't. No, this is beyond outrageous. So you keep two wounded kids in the school for an hour, but you don't let the EMTs and paramedics in there. What are they doing? Playing doctor and nurse with Band-Aids? I don't get it. This is nuts.
That brings up the next point. Who, inside that school at Sandy Hook, on December 14th, declared all of those 18 children, remember,
pronounced
two died
them
at the hospital.
Yep, yep.
So you have 18 children and six adults in that school. Who declared them dead within 8 minutes legally?
Only a doctor. Right.
Only a doctor can declare them dead. I didn't see any police officers get out of their vehicles with their stethoscopes around their neck. Did you?
No, sir.
Well, who declared them legally dead? How can you not answer that simple question?
Connecticut, without question, one of the most corrupt, rotten states in this former union. This is a very difficult situation. The questions are so profoundly worthy, and they should be automatic. They shouldn't even have to be asked. They should be released on their own merits to the public. Go ahead.
And let me ask, Jeff, for your listeners, they need to ask their national news media, the local television media, why weren't these questions asked by the national news media? Thank God we have radio. Thank God. Radio is the grassroots of America.
It's the
only place I think you can find the truth, because you have a good discussion. Television, I think they're handed the script and they're just reading it.
Damn right.
Without emotions, that's without
exactly
feelings.
All they are is actors. They're just readers.
Yep.
They're not journalists, Wolf. Journalism is dead. I want to thank also, briefly here, before we go to the break in another minute or two, Professor Jim Fetzer for helping me get this program together and for introducing us. So thank you, Jim, for that. He's done great work on this, by the way, along with
you. Jim is a catalyst. He got me going, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm proud of him. And people have criticized him and given him a hard time, but you know what? Nobody has answered his questions.
No.
Yep, it's easy to ridicule, But the questions that Mr. Fetzer and I have, they're so simple, they're logical, and every American who has children in the schools, public, private, or parochial, they deserve the truth, and they deserve the answers to the questions.
All right, let's go on to the next one.
Well, it's amazing. You know, this school had 500 children, mm-hmm. 75 staff members.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they go?
Big school.
It's 500 children go to a Sandhook Elementary.
That's a lot.
Did anybody on December 14th see any of those 500 children and teachers be evacuated? It's probably the best illusion that Homeland Security and FEMA has ever pulled off on the American public.
And if I might point out, those of you thinking in your mind's eye of the picture of the students being led out on the grass by a teacher, that picture was not taken on the day of the alleged massacre. That was a drill months and months earlier, or was it a couple of years earlier? I can't remember. It was a long time prior to that. There are no pictures of these 500 students. This is a big elementary school and 75 staffers. Where are they? Where are they? Are they standing around outside? Are they running? No. They're not to be seen.
And Sandy Hook was called a vanguard school. And supposedly, that's why all of those parents, you know, 18 of the 20 parents, moved into Newtown and Sandy Hook in the year of 2009. And when you listen to some of the interviews, they chose Sandy Hook specifically because it was a vanguard school, top-notch school. But what somebody didn't tell those parents, Sandy Hook has the highest level of lead paint. It has the highest level of asbestos in the ceiling tiles, in the floor tiles, in masking tape. It has the highest level of PCP, water contamination, outside and around the schools. It's a school that's contaminated.
Wow.
And Connecticut law, Jeff, requires that the school district annually provide a letter to each of the parents
uh-huh.
and that every school staff member notifying of the potential hazards and exposure that may affect their health.
That sounds,
and think about it. If I was a parent, I wouldn't let my child go to a school with those.
I wouldn't even walk in there myself. That's outrageous. It's almost verging on a Superfund site. This is insane.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We have to take a break. I just want to get that last comment in. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's just, and that was that's one of the Freedom of Information requests.
Mm-hmm.
The schools have to, by Connecticut law and in other states, every school has to have a triannual asbestos inspection by an outside certified asbestos inspector. So it's real, it's the truth. They won't give me any copies of them. I mean, they won't return my phone calls. It's a simple request.
This is a public school.
And it's a public record request.
It's a public record. It's a public administration. It's the public tax dollars that pay for these schools. This is open book stuff, folks. All right,
well,
hold on just a minute, Wolf. We'll come right back.
Thank you, Jeff.
Wolfgang Halbig, and yours truly, and I hope all of you are listening very carefully. Questions that must be answered. Back in a minute. Okay, and we're back with Wolfgang Halbig. Todd, we're going to go through the break this hour. I want to get as much as I can before the end of the hour. All right. Wolf, next up in our questions, and again, these are all
questions. This one is for every law enforcement officer that's listening to your show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions is, how is it that you have a lieutenant of the Newtown Police Department working in off-duty detail that morning on December 14th? He starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. He's working at a construction site controlling traffic,
mm-hmm.
and what the public doesn't know, there's actually another female that's been assigned with him, so there's actually two working the detail on the same day. And then the report goes out, shots are fired at Sandy Hook. Guess who doesn't leave his duty station, his off-duty job? Now, he's in uniform, he's got his police vehicle. He doesn't leave to go to Sandy Hook to the school shooting.
Can't
when children are in serious danger, and teachers. He stays at his work site. And I can promise you this, every police officer, when we work off duty, I know. When shots are fired and lives are at risk, we break away. It is the highest priority.
Yeah.
And he doesn't leave. He doesn't show up till 11:37. And then when he does leave his construction site, he goes to the police department. He doesn't even go to Sandy Hook, but he shows up at every press conference. Now, there is something not right about that picture.
What was the official time of the shooting at Sandy Hook again?
Well, it's they supposedly say 9:35. 31 is when the 911 call came in. They say the shooting probably started between 9:30 and 9:35.
Have they identified the 911 caller?
Well, yes. I've got actually the police report. It says the caller. There's two callers that they've identified. One is the custodian, and the other one is the secretary, you know, at the front office, who was hiding in the closet with the nurse.
Okay. All right.
Remember, that's the one they didn't find for 4 hours.
I mean,
I've never seen SWAT team members. I thought we were good at searching school.
They don't miss a trick. Come on. Please, hiding in the closet. I didn't see her. Okay.
4 hours.
What a wonderful job they did. Now, this guy's on his off-duty job, uniform, his car's there. He doesn't get to the school till when?
11:42. He actually goes to Newtown PD first, and then he goes to the school.
And yet he's at every news conference, and
he is standing right by the Connecticut Public Information. He doesn't miss a news conference. And that is, let me tell you, when we go up there and we file a civil lawsuit, he's going to be one of those people that he's going to have to raise his right hand and explain to us why he would not respond to try to save children's life. He is a first responder.
Damn right he is. All right, let's go ahead. Next question. I want to get as many as we can.
Well, the next question that is really astounding is that we have a lieutenant from the Newtown Police Department at 9. Remember now, everything I'm saying, these are the police records and what the police reports state. So please, don't listen to me. Please read the report. 9:45:42, a lieutenant from the Newtown Police Department is inside Sandy Hook. He sees a female first grade student in the hallway. Now, what do you think he does with that female student? He grabs her, he pushes her into room 8, and leaves her all alone. Well, does anybody remember what room 8 is? It's the crime scene. They have dead bodies in there.
It's a death chamber.
72 rounds have been shot and fired inside room 8, and this person grabs a female, little female girl. That's somebody's baby. And he pushes her back with the dead bodies. It doesn't make sense. Who in the world would do that?
It's beyond belief.
And then at 9:55, you got two Connecticut state troopers. You're going to like this one, Jeff. You got two Connecticut state troopers in uniform. They walk into room 10. Now, a lot of people don't know what room 10 is. It's a crime scene. Dead bodies in there. What do they find? They find a little boy hiding in the bathroom. What do they tell him? Well, stay there. We'll be right back when the school is safe. How do two police officers walk out of room 10 and leave that little boy in there with all those dead bodies? That's the room, Jeff, that Adam Lanza supposedly committed suicide. How is that possible? It's their words.
No, yeah.
That's why I can't wait. I can't wait to go to Newtown.
It's all lies.
I cannot wait to get the attorneys. I want to go up there. I want to get him in the room. I want them to raise their right hand. And these are going to be civil lawsuits, so they can't hide behind the Fifth Amendment.
Oh, good. Very smart. Very smart. All right. Those two things you just told me are enough to make you sick in your stomach.
I'm sick. Be honest with you, every time I even read it and I think about it, how could you possibly even do that?
Well, they're lying. They can't. It's not human. It's not
human
behavior.
Are you ready? It's not within our human nature to do things like this.
Nope.
And that little boy, I mean, think about that, .223 Bushmaster, if they say that was the weapon. Can you imagine the sound that that boy must have heard? 82 rounds fired in that room, and they tell him, just don't worry about it, we'll be back when it's safe.
That's an extremely loud weapon, ladies and gentlemen. The sound in that room must have been just about deafening.
Unbelievable.
I
hope that people will look at the report and read it and just, please, just be objective. Don't give your opinions. I have to leave my opinions out. What I think, it can't be important. But what I can say is what I read. When I work as an expert witness in cases of school shootings, mm-hmm. I read depositions. And when attorneys depose people, mm-hmm. what they're trying to do is not be your best friend, right, Jeff? They're trying to catch you in a lie.
That's right.
And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to depose these people, and we're going to ask the same questions. The problem is we're not going to let them off the hook. They're going to have to answer them under oath. And I hope the people across this country will join us. And it's time to do something. And I think the government is waiting for us not to do anything. See, they're not expecting this to happen.
No, you're right. This is our chance as a people to stand up for good and force the darkness into the light. We have that chance, and Wolfgang is the man who's going to carry our honor and our integrity with him. We've got to support him. And that's why you'll see near the top of my homepage a large banner that has to do with the exact subject matter we're discussing. Quote, Wolfgang Halbig, in my professional opinion, I suspect Sandy Hook was a scripted event that took place and was in planning for 2 or 2.5 years, end quote. Now, that banner is up there, number 3. I want you to click on that. Please read more, and I want you, if you possibly can, $5, $10, whatever you can do. We need to help this man. He's doing this of his own volition. We need to help him as a country, as a nation, as a people, make this system work. Get these people under oath. Force them to raise their right hand and force them either to lie or to change their stories and tell the truth. This could be a turning point in what's left of the chances that we have to save our country.
Jeff, we've had 197 people so far from across America donate, you know, from $1, and the most I think is $500, and I've got to thank them on your show. I mean, I mean, 197 people, it's a beginning, okay? It's not going to do the job, but doesn't make any difference. I made a commitment. I'm going to go to Newtown whether there is money there or not. I'm going to do what I've got to do to shake up the system. When they've come to my house, I'm going to go to their house.
All right, folks, imagine if they came to your house, ladies and gentlemen, and how many stories have I put up on Rents that show the police coming to somebody's house, breaking the door down, shooting their dog, or worse, shooting the occupants, and then just, whoops, wrong house. I mean, I have a video up now of police officers. Almost all of them, Wolf, maybe you can explain this. They have shaved heads. These cops are all shaved heads. And they're beating and punching and kicking and stomping and using
batons. They're beating the hell out of people.
They're terrorists. Absolute terrorists behind a badge. And this shaved head thing is there's some psychosis going on, and it's not normal. Something very wrong here with our police now. Very wrong.
Well, maybe the mental health screening has failed. It used to work pretty good, you know, before I got hired. You know, you have to take a psychological evaluation whether you're fit for the job. You know,
I don't know what
the term is today. A police officer can shoot you. All they have to say in their witness statement. You know what the statement is? I was in fear for my life.
That's it. Oh no, I know. That's all. And then
I was in fear for my life. They'll take your life. They can shoot you 59 times. It doesn't make a difference. I was in fear of that. That's not the police officer I am, the way I was trained.
No, of course not.
I respect people. And you know what? I respect you as long as you respect me. But once you don't respect me, then you know what? It raises the level a little bit. but you respect everybody. That's the way I was brought up, and that's not the way our country should be.
Couldn't agree more. All right, back to Sandy Hook.
You love this one. At 9:55:31, remember now, you got to listen to the police radio transmission.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear a police officer, which I have yet to identify, come on, and I know he's in room 10 because you can hear it in his voice. I have multiple weapons. Now, Jeff, these are his words. I have multiple weapons. I have a rifle and shotgun. Now, he's in room 10. Well, that's the room that Adam Lanza supposedly committed suicide.
Yeah.
So I can't find the shotgun. I can't find the shotgun that police officer reported to dispatch at 9:55:31 that morning that he observed in room 10. Where did that shotgun go?
He must have been mistaken, Wolf.
It's in the trunk of the car.
That's right.
But how did it get in the trunk from the classroom?
Whoops. Yep.
And, you know, you have a witness. You have this really nice lady who was on Katie Curry. Her name was Barbara Sibley. She describes that when she arrived that morning at 9:30, she saw a black Honda Civic. She saw all four car doors wide open with two black sweatshirts thrown on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, now you and I, we know the system and we know how we work.
Mm-hmm.
Forensic, when you have a crime scene, nobody touches it.
You yellow tape that thing off instantly.
Now, who closed the doors? Now, you know what? You got DNA, you got fingerprints. Somebody closed all of those four car doors. Not only did they do that, but somebody reached inside the front compartment of the car, took out a 12-gauge shotgun, unlocked the trunk, put that gun in the trunk, locked the trunk. What happened to fingerprints? Whatever. I mean, that is not protocol on how we investigate.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just crazy. Beyond
belief. It's not just one thing. It's one after another, right, after another, after another.
Yeah.
And the one that you'll see, too, you know, I've got the copies of all the police transmissions. And this is, I mean, if you want to email me, I'll send you a copy of what they're transmitting. They transcribed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's their words. Unbelievable. It could not have happened that way.
Where are the... Go ahead. Where are the grieving parents, Wolf? Where are the screaming, crying, grieving parents and the teachers and the hundreds of community residents who are there, grief-stricken? Where are they?
Well, this brings up the greatest point of all. Remember I was at Columbine?
Yes, yes.
14 students died that day. A teacher, Dave Sanders, rushed up. I mean, this is a man who went up trying to save some kids' lives. He bled to death up on the second-story floor because the paramedics didn't go in. That was the big crux of that story about paramedics. And you had 23 children shot at least 3 to 5 times. They all filed lawsuits. I want you to know that. They all filed lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know at Sandy Hook, as of tonight, as we're speaking to your audience, not one parent, not one loved one has filed any lawsuits against the school board, the Newtown Police Department, the Connecticut State Police, or the negligence by the paramedics and trauma helicopters? How is it that they have not filed a lawsuit?
There should be a wheelbarrow full of lawsuit papers. This is it's preposterous.
Ask me the question. Why do you think they have not? I know why they haven't filed lawsuits.
Okay. Why haven't they filed lawsuits?
Thank you for asking. You know what? The reason people don't file lawsuit, because there's a word called disclosure. When you file a lawsuit, it opens up your whole life to disclosure about who you are, where you've lived, what kind of job you've had, when your children born. It's an open book, and guess what? Those parents don't want their life to be an open book, so guess what? We don't file lawsuits. But guess what? On the other side, they get $300,000 from the American people who donated.
Now, okay, that's another
issue.
Yes. How much money has been donated to the community there, allegedly to do something? I'm not sure what, but...
They've collected $29 million in that community.
$29 million?
and nobody knows who got what. And I'm going up there, and I'm going to do a records inspection. I put them on notice the other day that I'm coming to Newtown. I'm going to inspect the United Way records. See, by law, you're allowed to inspect the records of nonprofits. Yes. I'm going to look how the money came in and how it went out. And, you know, when you hand a parent a check for $300,000, well, you have to prove that you had a loss. So I want to see if they have a death certificate, you know, at the United Way. You can't just give somebody a check based on their word or what you read in the newspaper. You still have to have a document that shows proof of death.
Well, we're going to send Wolfgang Halbig to Sandy Hook. Wolf has to go there. He's a professional police officer. He's going to go up there and ask the right questions. The questions that cops should have asked and answered long ago up there. When you go up there, Wolf, I hope you have a video crew with you at all times.
I will.
This is crucial to the success of our country. If we are going to survive, this has to be exposed. What about all the tragically murdered little children, autopsies, funerals, grieving parents who won't file lawsuits?
Well, the one that everybody, you know, who pretended that was a parent that day and lost a child on that day, can you imagine? You have lost the most precious gift, your little first grader, your baby, and then they tell you to come to the medical examiner's office or the morgue. And then you arrive there, and guess what? The medical examiner tells you, the parent, you're not going to be able to see your child personally. You're not going to be able to touch your child. You're not going to be able to hug it, kiss your child. You're going to be shown the picture, and that's all you're going to get. Jeff, I'd run over that medical examiner. They'd have to tie me to a chair. There's just no way you're going to stop me from being with my child. My wife and I would be there, and you'd have to pry me off of her.
Well, again, this is inhuman. You don't do this to parents. For those of you who are parents, we don't have to say anymore. For those of you who are not parents, you have a child, you bring a child into this world, you raise that child. There is nothing greater. It's the greatest privilege that we have as human beings, and that's to bring a life into the world. And to tell a parent you can't see your child and say goodbye, here's a picture, I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
Show them a picture, and that's all you're going to get. And then every one of the funerals was a closed casket except for one. And the one that had an open casket, you could never see the boy's face. It was a boy. You could never see his face. His face was covered by cloth.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, you never got to see his actual face. It was actually covered up, so there was only
right,
one.
What about the one parent who was yucking it up and then all of a sudden turned on the tears for the cameras?
Oh, yeah, that's Mr. Parker.
Tell us about Robbie Parker.
Yeah, well, again, you look at Robbie Parker and you look at all the family members who showed up on CNN and other television shows. You know, Columbine. When those students died at Columbine, you never, ever saw any parents go on national TV. Not the next day, not the next week, not the next month. You know why? They're home grieving. They lost the precious gift.
The shattered
wound.
They
don't go on national TV.
No, it's a wound that'll never heal. Never. I understand.
This is unbelievable because it caused law enforcement to call me. I want to know who the incident commander was on December 14, 2012, who ordered 7 porta-potties for Sandy Hook Elementary School within 3 hours of this massive casualty shooting event. Now, who in their right mind is thinking about looking in the yellow pages?
Porta-potties. This is unbelievable.
Jeff, somebody within 3 hours of this massive shooting, children are dead in the school, teachers are dead, somebody is thinking about porta potties, but they didn't order the trauma helicopters, but they don't let the paramedics and EMTs in the school. Oh, come on. This is just, where is this going to stop? And I think that's why they don't want to answer the question. I called the porta potty company, okay?
Yeah.
It took me a week to figure out, because I saw the logo on the side of the porta potty.
Uh-huh.
When I called the lady up and I said, ma'am, could you please tell me when and who ordered the porta potty and how did they pay for it? Was it credit card or what? She says, I'm not allowed to tell you. It's classified. Since when are porta potties classified?
Well, it's that national security thing again, Wolf.
I'm with some serious business with those porta potties. But yet, again, I go back. No trauma helicopters, no paramedics. Who declared all of our children legally dead? But we can get porta potties
within 8 minutes, right? 8 minutes. Wasn't that what it was?
Within 8 minutes, they're all declared legally dead. And then two children are declared dead at Danbury Hospital, but they didn't get there for over an hour. What were they doing in the school? Who was treating them?
That's like, reminds me of Princess Diana being in an ambulance. It took them an hour to go 3 miles to get her to a hospital. This whole thing is so wide open, it's disgusting, and it needs to be taken apart. And this is the man who's going to do it. Now, again, I would like all of you, please, let's send a message to the evil that is running our country. Let's send Wolfgang Halbig to Newtown with enough financial resources to do what he needs to do. He's going to go anyway. You know this. You hear this already. Let's give him what he needs to do it right, so he doesn't have to sweat and mortgage his house or whatever he's going to do. Please, there's three banners at the top of my page. 1, 2, 3. The third one, it's green. There's a school bus on the left. Click on the right side. Look at the page. Jim Fetcher's work is there. The whole story is there. And I would like to ask all of you to please dig down and send something. I know these are tough times. This is the biggest thing since 9/11. We've got a chance to break it wide open. Whatever the hell they did up there, we are going to find out. This has got to stop. Wolf,
and Jeff, I want the listeners to know, Jeff, I'm not getting paid. I'm not taking one penny. I refuse. I'm 67 years old. I got an AARP card. I'm retired. I have a nice lifestyle. I've worked all my life. I don't need to be doing this. I pray to God that I'm wrong, Jeff. I mean, my wife and I look at this and say, God, please let us be wrong. But then on the other side, why would they not answer 16 simple questions?
They're hiding.
That's what blows us away.
No, they're hiding, obviously, a contrived operation here that was put together, and rather poorly. Didn't they have ID tags for everybody right away too?
You had a huge traffic sign that everybody must sign in. Now, that's never heard. Now, who in the world bought that sign? Who ordered it? I mean, you don't just
ludicrous.
Roll out a big traffic sign, on the day of a shooting and make everybody sign in.
How many events have you been to as a professional law enforcement officer? They don't have that kind of stuff sitting
around.
We
don't have porta potties, and we don't have, everyone must sign in, How about the 26 Christmas trees behind the firehouse? How in the world do 26 little Christmas trees show up on the day of the shooting? And then they're out there next day being decorated by the community.
It's called props. Props. That's what they are. Props. Wolf, thank you so much for being here. On behalf of all human beings everywhere who care, God bless you. We're with you, and I hope you get the support you need and then some. I know I'll be here if I can do anything to help you in any way. Please don't hesitate.
And I know that. I see it in your heart, and I thank you for giving me an opportunity to be with you tonight, okay?
Oh, you bet. All right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks,
Wolf. Good night.
Good night. Okay. It's up to you. Let's help this man. Third banner from the top, and we'll be back.